I'm constantly going on. I'm telling you, I had something to say, like, specifically during this podcast. I just went on a total side, just a total tangent, total rant. All that to say, boundaries, okay? Boundaries. I just think boundaries are necessary. I was talking to one of my friends the other day, and I was just like, I know personally that if I have a relationship with someone, it's gonna jade the way that I look. So yeah, I purposely don't date after I break up with someone. That's intentional, because I have to be realistic with myself. Like, are you jaded? Do you need a, what do you need to, you need to get something out of this? Like, if I'm not with someone anymore, that speaks to something. So whether or not, I mean, I would be lying out my teeth if I said that I would ever get with anybody I've ever broken up with again. No, I wouldn't. I mean, I wouldn't want to. It's not even an option. But back in the days before my perspective changed, yeah. The breakup, hookup after the breakup, yeah. Ignorant. Didn't know any better. Sure. But yeah, that's a lot. I couldn't even imagine. But I couldn't imagine, but I do know, I do remember what it was like. And as I sit here right now, what comes to my mind is I didn't have boundaries. I really didn't know what I deserved as a woman, and I didn't know what I didn't need to offer as a woman. Like, I didn't know, like, sex is not a, what's the word? Sex is not a bargaining tool. Sex is not for sale. Sex is not the thing that you give to someone to show them that you like them. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what sex is not. I didn't know that. I didn't know that sex was like the thing you give to your husband because your husband and you were in a mutual space where you both decided that you want to do life together for the rest of your life. Those are not things that you decide with your boyfriend. Your boyfriend does not decide that they want to be with you for the rest of their life just off of boyfriend status. You don't meet your boyfriend, especially when you're, I wouldn't say especially because I know people that have been married in their 20s, but for the most part, when you meet someone and you're not intentional, different when you're intentional. There's a lot of people out there that are very intentional with what they do. When you're not intentional and you meet a girl or a boy, man or woman, absolutely not. You're not thinking, you may be feeling long-term, you may occasionally think about, this could go far, or I wonder where this could be, or I wonder what this relationship, you know, could look like or would look like if it was a year from now, 2 years, 3, 4, 5, I wonder how it would be to be married. Yeah, definitely. Single people who are dating, I definitely think we think like that. But when you're thinking like that and it's unintentional, that's dangerous. Because there's that unintentionality is going to cause you to be, I don't know why I'm such a loss of words today. But the unintentionality is going to cause you to be someone that you're not. It's going to cause you to go in a direction that you were not planning on going. It's going to cause you to make decisions you weren't planning on making. It's going to cause you to divert from your path. And everybody's different. This may not be your story. Let me just speak for myself. Unintentionality in dating has caused me to veer from my path, to make decisions that I would have not made, would have not made. That's not even a, who does that? wouldn't have made. It just causes you to, it causes you to change your plans. It causes you to switch up and to do things that you wouldn't do normally, period. And that's just what it is. So I think sometimes my friends or just women that I'm having a conversation with, however the conversation goes, whatever that direction is that the conversation goes in, when it comes to talking about celibacy, it's kind of like a joke because people often wonder, like, how do you give up sex? But it's like, I'm not giving up sex. I'm giving up giving sex to people just randomly and unintentionally. Like, regardless of you become my boyfriend or not, or if we stay in a long relationship or not, that's not the point. The point is, this relationship was not intentionally. It's like I accidentally bumped into you, or I accidentally tripped and fall into this relationship. Trip and fall, that's not, scratch that. And when I say accidental, what I mean is unintentionality is like accidental. I may accidentally walk into the wall with the lights on. The wall's right there. There's a line, there's edges, there's a corner. I see the wall, but I may accidentally bump into it. Sometimes we meet people casually in places that we're familiar with, and because we're familiar with those places, we think this is a perfect place to meet someone. So we put that energy out there, like, you know what, hey, I'm gonna, let's meet, let's hook up, let's talk, whatever. And then, because you put that energy out there, somebody picks up the energy. Now, you intentionally put the energy out there, yes. But what I would call unintentional is, what is your aim in doing that? Like, so you want to hook up with someone, or you want to be in a relationship, but what's the relationship aim? Now what? Because it's cool to have a dude, it's cool to have a woman, but now what? Because now you're just dating. And now you're dating just to see where it goes. Those words right there is what I'm talking about when I say unintentional. You're just dating to see how it goes. Well, I'm just dating to see how it goes. Like, well, I'm just stopping at this restaurant to see how this food tastes. Like, that's a less loss. Like, if this food don't taste good, that's $17. I'm going to be okay. But a whole relationship? Like I said, everybody's different. Because I love seeing my friends on Facebook that they're literally dating the person that they, like, had the biggest crushes on in high school, like, or middle school or elementary. Like, these people, like, they knew, like, hey, this was the one for me. And I know, because I've known these people for many years of my life, and to see them marry and love and be with and put effort into being in a relationship with the person that they've been with for now over a decade. Yeah, and we young. So yeah, definitely. That's credit. That's effort. That's work. And that's intentional. I think that in the world of intentional dating, you're definitely dating to see where it goes. You're just intentional because you have an aim. You have, if your aim is marriage, then you're going to see how it goes. You don't need to, it's not like you don't need to say, well, if I don't know in day one, I guess this isn't it. No. You're dating to see how it goes. Legit. Fine. Cool. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But even someone who's dating intentionally shouldn't just be dating randomly. Now you have to pay attention to who you're dating. Now you got to put greater effort into it. Now you got to decide, I want to intentionally date because I do want to get married, but what does that look like? And what type of man do I want to be with? What's his character like? that to me is intentional. What is this language like? I don't want to date anyone that just talks sideways. I may have an accent and sound, you know, like I'm from New York or like I'm from Jamaica occasionally. That's an accent. I'm talking about, how do you talk? Like, what's your language? How do you speak about women? You know, what's your conversation like? You're not just having a conversation. And how do you address people? How do you carry yourself? Like, what does your community look like? Your community, your whole community can't look like everybody. You can't be running with the same people you was running with, like, when you was in high school or college. And if you are, and they're, like, upstanding fellas, then okay, fine, legit. But, you know, there's certain times in life where we gotta drop some people off where we found them. Bless their hearts. God bless those people. You just gotta let them go. Just gotta let them go. And say, this friendship was fun. It's not gonna last. And I can't last being in this relationship, being in this friendship, having this relationship with you is not in the direction of where I'm going. And because I'm going in a different direction, I gotta let you go. And I don't think that's a bad thing to be able to do. I think, again, that boundaries. It's important to have boundaries. It's important to be able to say, this part of my life, I'm gonna have to step back from this relationship. Which is why some people gonna be left behind. Some people can't come where you're going. Some people can't be in your next. Some people can't be in your best. Some people can't be in your future. And that's based on qualifying attributes. You know, there's certain things that someone doesn't have to say in order to be no longer relevant in your life. It's just actions. And I'm not talking about anything dramatic. I'm talking about the little things. Just the words that they say, the way that they talk. I'm a vision type of person. I'm an artist. I'm a visual artist. So I see. I've always been a visual learner. So I'm able to look at things in a certain type of way. Not all my friends. I said the majority of my friends don't see like that. They're not visual learners. They're not thinking about things the way that I think about them, and nor would I expect them to, because they're not me. But just because you may not be a visual person or see someone who sees, you know, like, oh man, this would be cool. Like, you know, I'm the type of person, I see something and all of a sudden I'm seeing a whole vision. I'm like, well, that could be built into this, and that could be built into, and that could be built into that. It could be like a crayon box, and I'm like turning the crayon box into the next car, and it's like, who does that? I do that. So I think that one thing I've noticed, like, you don't have to be like me to be coming, to be on this next journey. But you gotta be somebody who's like-minded. You gotta be moving in the same direction. And I think sometimes, I know I've learned personally, sometimes it looks like you and a friend is going in the same direction. And what causes a person to be left behind in your life is that as you're walking with that person, you're walking, and you're in the same direction, so you're both going straight. Then you both take a turn for the right. You're both doing that. And then at some point, there's a fork in the road. You're going to take a left, and your friend's going to take a right. And these are life decisions that need to be made. These are important things. And even if they're small things, you start to see how this difference in choice that you and said friend make would cause you to no longer be in each other's lives the way that you used to be. I can't. I'm not. There's no way I'm going to be able to walk with you the way that I used to walk with you a few months ago, a year ago, a decade ago. There's absolutely no way. There's just no way. Because we're not walking in the same direction. I have to go left. It's imperative. It's going to affect the rest of my life. If I don't go left, I'm going to deny myself the true version of myself. And if you don't go right, you're going to deny yourself the true version of yourself. So what do we do? Do we stick together for the friendship? Do we stick together and just say, yo, man, I could take that next left, or I could take the next right. Yeah, I could take you can take the next left. And you can take the next right. Okay, fine. But do you know how far away from the original turn you're going to be if you have to take a turn that has nothing to do with the plans that you have for your life, and the plans, more importantly, that God has for you? If God is telling you, take a left, that is an appointed turn. This is very important. It's like flashing lights in the cartoon, and it's like, Go that way. Go that way. This is a big arrow, flashing arrows. And the road is like perfectly winding in the proper direction for your footprints, your footsteps. Like, go that way. But for the sake of the friendship, you're like, nah, I'm gonna stick it out. This is my friend. I've known him forever. I'm gonna just make this totally wrong turn because maybe you haven't even known them forever. Maybe this is a new person in your life. So now you're taking the wrong turn. I'm laughing because it just reminds me of all the bad decisions I've made in my life. But now you're turning in the direction of your friend, which is not the direction of your true self, but you're turning in the direction of someone else's true self. So not only are you going in the wrong direction, but you have compromised your own life. Whatever your life was supposed to look like, you just compromised that. So now your life map has now been altered because you decided to stick with somebody that is not supposed to go with you. And being older, I can look back and say, okay, that was a wrong turn. But one thing I've been telling my younger sisters is, like I said earlier, nobody wakes up and says, I want to have a bad relationship. And that's romantic and friendship. Nobody wakes up and say, today is going to be the day that I no longer talk to my friend that I've known for 10, 12, 15, 20 years. Like, I'm no longer going to talk to my friend that I've known for 5 months, for 2 months, for a year. Like, nobody just wakes up like, I'm going to break my friendship off today. Today's the day. And if you wake up like that, God bless your soul, because clearly you know you got to let that friend go. Because some friends you just got to let go. And you got to know in your heart that this person is not good for you. And when you know someone's not good for you, it doesn't speak to their character. It's not about someone not being a good person. Like, we're all flawed. Who's good? Nobody's good. God is good. It's not about the person being, you know, for lack of a better word, a good person. It's about them not being good for you in this point of your life. For the last 5 months, last year, you was stellar. Kudos to everything this friendship was. Appreciate you. I'm always gonna appreciate you. Reach out to me. I just know I gotta take this left. This is where my life is going. I hope you can respect that. And yeah, there is that parting and changing relationship status. In friendships can be very challenging. I think a lot of times, most times you hear relationship status changing in romantic relationships, but if we're honest, we possibly speak for myself, we possibly have more relationship status changes than friendships. We possibly have more relationship status changes in our friendships, especially in this female world where I've never had this issue, but a lot of females I meet, they're like, I don't get along with women, with women, with other women. I don't have girlfriends. I don't hang out with girls. I don't hang out with chicks, or I don't have female friends, period. That's it. I don't even look for female friends. I don't, no, never. And that always concerns me because I'm like, wait, but you are a female. Don't you think that's an issue? Don't you think that's a problem? That you as a female are having a challenge having female friends? Like, I do not think that's natural. I think it's not natural to not be able to get along with females. I think it is, and I also think it's natural to not get along with females. It's a bit of both. I think a part of it, I think as women, we should be able to get along. I think we should be able to understand as we look at ourselves and reflect on ourselves and the decisions and choices that we've made in our lives. I think we should be able to look back out. I'm learning this. I'm speaking to myself. I'm learning this right now. You should be able to go inside, have some reflection, and look back out to your sisters and be like, you know what? I remember when I didn't know what boundaries was. I remember when I didn't even, first of all, self-love is such a new thing to me. I'm 34 years old. I'm pretty sure I was like 29, 30 when I really start grasping self-love. Like, I think I'm more than pretty sure that I tried it. I tried self-love. It was like some kicks that I seen at the sneaker spot. And they look good on my feet. And I bought a pair. But honestly, self-love is more than something to put on. It's not a sneaker thing. It's an inner thing. So I have to say, like, yeah, I was like early 30s, late 20s, beginning of 30s when I realized I have no idea what self-love is. I started late. And when I started to really dig deep into it, I was like, wow, okay, I used to do some of this in my 20s, but self-love and self-love is selflessness. Self-love is not selfishness. I used to confuse those two. I used to think, oh, if I'm loving me, then I'm being selfish. No. If you're loving you, you're being selfless. You can't give with others what you can't give yourself. Like, period. You can't give others what you can't give yourself. If you can't give yourself peace, how are you going to give peace to others? If you can't give yourself grace, how are you going to give grace to others? If you can't give yourself love, how are you going to give love to others? If you can't give yourself forgiveness, how are you going to give forgiveness to others? Like, if you can't have boundaries in your own personal relationship, how are you going to have boundaries in relationship with others? So, I think a lot of times self-love is, and I mean, I'm like the belt in karate, but I'm like, you know, beginner belt, mid, you know, belt. One of those middle beginnerish belts with this whole self-love thing. But I'm a quick learner, as I like to say. I enjoy being a student of life. And with that said, I am learning that self-love is a necessity. It's a choice that you make, and it's a forever choice. You forever choose to love yourself. Because if you're ever going to be able to choose to love someone else, you got to be able to choose you first. It's just a must. And it's like, the more I hear this, the more I hear the story about put the mask on you first. If the plane is going down, put the mask on you first. Like, the more I hear it, the more it just keeps making sense. And when I was younger, I didn't get it. I was like, no, I can put the mask on somebody else and then put it on me. But it's like, dude, wait, slow down. You got a concussion, or you have a concussion because of something flew and hit your head in the airplane, the plane's going down, you have no, you're not concerned about yourself. Now you're trying to put it on your, the person sitting next to you, who, okay, fine, they may have a legit concussion, but how are you going to save them if you can't save you? And what if you fail at saving them, and then you fail at saving yourself? Now you're both dead. And now the podcast got morbid, but you know what I'm saying. It's not morbid, but I'm just saying. Just saying, like, it makes sense. When I was younger, it didn't make sense. I was like, no, I'm fast. Like, I got this. I used to run track. I got this. I feel like my feet are fast. My hands should be fast. I should be able to put the mask on them and then put the mask on me. But it would appear that it doesn't work like that. It just doesn't work like that. And it's vitally important to put that mask on yourself. Put that life jacket on yourself. And then you can go help somebody else. Because now you're good. God forbid you're not good. And I think this whole idea of that's selfish. I think the word selfish needs to be used less. It needs to be used properly. I think that word has historically been misused. Therefore, when people are being taught to love themselves and taught to love others, they would assume that loving themselves is selfish while loving others is selflessness. Like, no, they're both like selfishness. Like, they're both selflessness. They both cause you to be a better version of yourself. You have to absolutely love yourself before you love somebody else. It's just, period. Leave a message. Tag my page. DM me if you think anything different. I really want to hear what you think. And so you can tag me at WordsWalk. One word, WORDSWALK, Words Walk, on Instagram. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you think. Also, you can find this podcast at its home base, which is Mothers of Pearl on Instagram. So it's mothers.ofpearls, and that's on Instagram. So yeah. Send a message. Tell me what you think. What do you think about this whole idea of boundaries? Like, I've been talking about it this whole episode. What do you think about boundaries? Do you think that it's like doing too much? Do you think that it's, you know, exactly what we need? Do you think that it is, do you think boundaries is more to do with that self-love that I'm talking about? Like, what do you think about it? What do you think about self-love? Like, what's your version of self-love? What do you consider self-love? So, what do you consider healthy relationship? What do you consider healthy expectations and healthy communication? Because all these things, to me, is self-love. Like, I'm learning real fast. Like, self-love is more than buying yourself some nice shoes, you know, this month, or taking yourself to dinner, which I thoroughly enjoy doing. Not right now because it's COVID-19 around the world, so there are restaurants open, but I am definitely using my cooking skills. I feel like sometimes I'm running out of things to cook, but then I have to encourage myself and remind myself that I do this, I know how to cook, and I do this. Cooking is what I do. I'm actually working on a family cookbook with some individuals in my family, mainly my mother, who is an amazing cook, my sister, and my younger brother. So I definitely know how to cook. I just think, you know, I like to eat out. I like to eat out and try different things. That's probably why I know how to cook so many different things. Is because I do like to eat out. And once I go somewhere and I like the food, now you got me. Now I'm going home to try the recipe. I'm gonna figure it out. And once I finesse it, now I'm gonna feel like I don't need you to come back to your restaurant. So shout out to all those restaurants that have amazing food that inspire me to copy the recipe. And I'll be back at some point, God willing, because I'm not in a rush at this point. I'm really not in a rush to go to any restaurants. I'm not. Absolutely not. There's too much going on right now. Especially when the stove still works. especially when the blender still works. And if all else fails, I can cut some veggies up and some fruits. Make a smoothie. Drink my water. Sip my tea. Yeah, I'll be all right. So I'm learning that self-care, yes, it is, you know, maybe some new shoes. Clearly, I like shoes. Maybe some new outfit, maybe some good food. Definitely a foodie. But it's so much more than that. It's more than the mask every once in a while. It's more than, pampering yourself, which is a lot of fun. Plan on doing very soon. It's more than that. It's deciding that boundaries is new love language. Everybody. Just the people be like, everybody can get it. Yeah, everybody can get it. Boundaries. Everybody can get it. Hashtag boundaries. Like, got boundaries with my mom. Like, no offense, I love her, but we got boundaries. Boundaries with my dad. Boundaries. And those boundaries have shifted. Thank God. Because I wasn't raised with my parents. So my boundaries used to be real close to me. Because I got close boundaries and I got boundaries like 5 miles out. So you really can't even get that close. Because now I'm like, I don't really know you. But I'm telling you, this grown-up stuff is really helping because I'm able to be closer to my family. I'm definitely able to be closer to my parents. But I say boundaries with my parents because, you know, you're a child. But you gotta have boundaries. Like, I don't talk to my parents about everything that's crazy. And I don't want to. I'm cool with talking to them about a good amount of things, but It has to have a stopping point. So the boundaries are definitely not 5 miles out anymore. They're closer. They gotta be, I would say, on today, on this new day that the Lord has given me, that the Lord has given us. I would say like a healthy 1 mile. I would say like a healthy 1 mile right now with my parents. And that's a 4 mile decrease before you start thinking I'm weird. That's a 4 mile decrease. That's work. That's effort. And I would love for it to be less. I'd love for it to be less. But I think, you know, boundaries are good. I think it's just necessary. You know, it's just necessary. I don't think it has to be. I think it should be, you know, like I keep saying, healthy and based on expectations. And I think the reason why I do have boundaries with my parents is because I've started to have healthier expectations of them. Like, yeah, you're my parents, but you can only do but so much for me at this point. I mean, 34 years old. So what does the expectations look like now? Well, they're definitely different than when I was a child because I needed more. I needed more time. I needed more parental guidance. Whether I got it or not, that's you know, whether I got it or not is not the point. The point is, I need less. And the funny thing is, at the same time, I need more. Because as an adult, I need more of one thing from my parents, more advice on certain things than I did as a child. Because as a child, it wasn't applicable. So, you know, healthy expectations, healthy boundaries. Same thing with friendships. Friendships, you gotta have healthy boundaries. I crossed the boundary line with myself in a new friendship. And as soon as I did that, I was like, dang, I can't believe I just did that. That's so immature. I'm definitely not that person. So I'm learning, like, stand your ground. Be yourself. Be authentic to who you are. When you got to take a left, take a left. That person has to take a right, let them take that right. Everybody has to make and take their own steps in life. God loves you.